I believe that confidence only comes through consistently doing incredibly uncomfortable things. And I don't mean uncomfortable like a food challenge. It's funny, I saw this, the one chip challenge the other day. I've been really tempted to try it, but ultimately I don't think my guts would appreciate the effort. I've also had this interesting dream about being on the chicken wing interview show Hot Ones. If you're not familiar, it's a guilty pleasure for me, but phenomenal, phenomenal interviews. And I don't think you get confidence from that either, even though like that challenge of like eating spicy chicken wings will definitely teach you something about yourself. For me, confidence is laid within the day to day. The doing continually uncomfortable things is what it really comes down to, is doing the thing that you know you need to do that is going to make your life better. The hard things in life, they're the things that drive us. The hard things in life are the things that ultimately push us into what we're capable of. And I don't mean the hard things that we deal with without choice, because I do think there's some of that, right? There's death, there's famine, there's things of that nature we don't have a lot of say in, right? When you lose somebody close to you, that's a hard thing. Like that I don't know how you build confidence through something so traumatic. You know what I mean? What I mean in doing incredibly uncomfortable things is getting in alignment with the person that you want to become and then moving towards that person every single day. And there's no example better that I can think of than the three guests who are going to join us on today's episode. First up, we have Alana Pratt, who is a global media personality and a go-to authority for people who have been through heartbreak. And she helps people find confidence again in dating, relationships, and intimacy, a place that I think we all could use a little bit more confidence. She's the author of 6 books, and she's interviewed everybody from Whoopi Goldberg to Alanis Morissette and everybody in between. Next, we have the incredible David Maxwell, who's a great friend of mine who I've had the honor of sharing stages with at different periods of time in my life. And David coaches men on how to live life with purpose and passion. And he is the host of the Confident Man podcast, someone that really personifies confidence. And his story and journey is absolutely incredible. And last but not least for the day, Ashley Gordon, also known as the Quantum Coach. And what she specializes in, helping people master their craft so that they can provide life-changing transformations. She is the creator of the Badass Manifestor brand and podcast, and is a certified success coach, hypnotherapist, and master NLP practitioner. I think about confidence every single day and what it takes to ultimately be able to live up into who it is that you're capable of being. And for me, like, I look at the life I want to create, and here's what I think is really interesting about confidence. Not every day do I wake up and I'm gung-ho about this. A lot of days I am, but some days I'm not. Some days I just don't want to. And then I remember that confidence is only built through doing the hard things. And sometimes the hard thing is the thing I don't want to do. Go to the gym, eat well, take my probiotics, read the books, go through the self-care regimen. Get a coach, read the books. Again, I said that twice because that's the one that always gets away from me. It's like, dude, just sit down for 5 minutes, read the book. You know, and I think we all kind of go through that. We go through this phase and this place in our life where it ebbs and flows and it sways back and forth. But in the moments, and they're very specific, in the moments that we push ourselves into who we choose to be, that's where confidence is created. We're never good at anything the first time we do it. I mean, hell, some of us aren't even good at breathing when we're born. I wasn't. You know, had asthma tremendously as a child, was on nebulizers all the time, you know, had an inhaler with me everywhere I went. And so sometimes, like, we don't even come out of the womb with confidence. Like, we have to learn how to do things. And that's what this life is. Learning, showing up, trying, growing, asking for help, finding mentors, and then rinsing and repeating over and over and over again until on a long enough timeline we find proficiency of some capacity. And my hope is that as you listen to today's show, you listen to these amazing speakers, you find a little bit deeper truth in who you are, what you want to create, and how to get there. You can learn more about Alana, Ashley, and David if you go to thinkunbrokenpodcast.com. And of course, check me out at Michael Unbroken on all the social media. And without further ado, my friends, let's get into the show. You're listening to the Think Unbroken podcast, and I'm your host, Michael Unbroken. I'm an author, speaker, coach, and advocate for adult survivors of childhood trauma and abuse. In this podcast, you will learn how to transform your trauma into triumph, turn breakdowns into breakthroughs, and go from victim to being the hero of your own story. You can learn more at thinkunbrokenpodcast.com, and of course, check us out on Apple Podcasts and Spotify at Think Unbroken Podcast. What is intimacy? Because so many people, and this is because we live in this pornified society, people go, oh, intimacy is sex. And I'm like, no, it's not. But what does it look like? Paint us a picture top to bottom. Explain intimacy.
To me, there's very many definitions, and I think is one of them. My definition is a way of being where we're honest, as you said, authentic, transparent, vulnerable, raw, heart open, walls down with ourself. It's not possible to give that gift to another if you haven't first given it to yourself. And so it's the ability that when you're sad, you be with yourself. When you're ashamed, you be with yourself. When you're really orgasmically alive, you be with yourself. Like the whole kit and caboodle, the wobbly parts and the triumphant parts. You're just going to be deeply connected moment to moment with yourself without the need to fix or change and just connect. When we can be that, we can simultaneously, it's almost like this Shazam that happens. When you finally come home to all yourself and you resist nothing and you allow all, it's a oneness moment with the universe. Because in my opinion, the universe doesn't have opinions. If it says, I suck, it says, oh, and so it is. It's a figure eight loop. It's going to give you back what you put out. It probably would love, if it could, support you in believing you're better than you think you are. But it's a free will universe. So if you put out, I suck, and so it is, or I'm worthy, and so it is. So you have this oneness with the universe that occurs as a direct reflection of your internal relationship. And the experience is, wow, the accomplishment, the outside world doesn't change much. There's still a little debt over there. My ass is still that size. Or, you know, whatever it is. Then you wake up and you're like, but I'm enough. I'm enough as I am. Yes, I still choose to go to the gym. Yes, I still choose to learn how to be a better manager of my money, but not in order to be good enough. I'm already. It's an inspiration from love, not a motivation from fear. And that is a different paradigm. So life starts to become joyful just because you're alive. There's a peace in your skin. And then you start to get a little sassy, a little sexy. Then you're like, okay, universe, what you got for me today? Because you're no longer terrified of what you can't control because you've got your back. You start to be able to be a little more sexy and sassy and joyful and risk, but you simultaneously have this sense of, because your heart is open, because you're intimate with yourself, you can hear your intuition. You can hear, the gut, as you mentioned a moment before. So you start making better decisions. And you also stay in the best part of your brain, which is more creative and abstract thinking, as opposed to kill them before they kill me, fight, flight, freeze, right? So you start to make better decisions and life starts to be more joyful and you have more success. Not that you need it anymore to be good enough, but just because it's fun to be successful and generous and make an impact on the planet. And then that's a vibration too. So you're going to start to attract a community that's like-minded. And you're going to start to run into people, whether it's on HeartMate's partnering app or at the freaking grocery store, who are your people. And you don't have to try. I would say you need to intend, right? Put it out there, but not be attached because that's going to push it away faster than anything. And then all of a sudden, by this willingness to have an intimate relationship with yourself, you and your body lost that extra 10. You didn't try, but you weren't at war with your body. You listened, hey, let's have a salad rather than another, I love fish and chips and beer, but whatever, not right, okay? So everything, physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, vocational, financial, social, parental, romantic, sexual, all of every part of your life, because how you do anything is how you do everything, starts to up level. Yes, you need to show up every day, but not with attachment. And then, you know, within a reasonable amount of time, life is looking pretty good. And while I don't hope anybody dies tonight, if you did, you could look back and you don't have the regrets. You know, you lived a full life. You made a difference being you.
You can have success and you can have a great relationship. You can have a great career. You can have a great family. You can have everything and impact the world. But I think the hunger, like this idea of like having an appetite for something, right, is so much about, and I want to know your thoughts on it, is about, can you satiate your needs as a human being, as a man, as a person, to create and impact the change that you want to see in the world? But I find that you have to be super, super self-aware, for lack of a better way to phrase this, so that that appetite doesn't actually become the driver. One of the things I know that you talk about in coaching is appetites. What does that really mean when you're trying to understand who you are? Hey, what's up, Unbroken Nation? Michael here. I just wanted to take a moment and invite you to the Think Unbroken Community Coaching Sessions. We start these sessions at the beginning of every month. And we take a deep dive into the baseline and frameworks of what it means to get out of the vortex and become the hero of your own story through community, connection, commitment, and education. You can learn more about this at healtraumacoach.com, where you can fill out an application and sign up for a trauma healing call with me or my team to see if the Think Unbroken Community Coaching Sessions is right for you. That's at healtraumacoach.com. We start at the beginning of every month. I cannot wait to see you there. And I'll be honest with you, if I'm not the right fit for you, we will help you find the person that can help you on your journey.
Well, for men, it's, we want to give men permission today to be passionate, to have desires, because that's how we're designed. Men are passionate creatures. You get two men together who are into two different sports teams, and they're going to be passionate. They're going to be arguing about who's the best. Men today argue about things like, you know, Jordan versus LeBron, just because that's who we are as men. We get very passionate about things. What I want men to see is that passion is not a bad thing. Sometimes guys feel like, with the term toxic masculinity and these things, they want to, something's wrong with me. No, no, no. It's not wrong with you. You just need to channel it in the right direction. Men who are passionate, who channel their passion, they're the men who make a difference in the world. It's kind of like a train. Trains are huge. They have huge engines. They have rail cars going back for miles. As long as they're on the track, they take care of a lot of business. They do a lot of stuff. But get them off track, and literally, it's a train wreck. And a lot of guys in their life, their passion gets them into train wrecks because they don't have it disciplined. They don't have it focused. So you take a guy who sleeps with woman after woman after woman, take all that passion and let him channel it into one woman. Let him channel it into one relationship. And I guarantee you that relationship will be much deeper and stronger than any he's had before, because he's focusing all his passion into that one relationship. And so what he's doing is he's keeping his life from going off the track. He's actually channeling it. In fact, a lot of times with men, I use the example of a bullet. If you take just a handful of lead and throw it at someone, you know, it can hurt him. It might give him a little nick. But if you form that lead into a bullet and shoot it out of a high-pressure chamber, it can do a lot more damage. A lot of men are wasting their passion doing lots of things when they have gifts and abilities that are designed to do something specific. But a lot of times they never figure out what that is, because they're just throwing their passion everywhere. They're chasing all the women. They're chasing all the money. They're gaming 5 hours a night. And they're doing all of these things, but they're losing that passion that they have, and they don't even know what to do with it. They say, hey, I have all this passion, so I guess I'll game all night. But then they're not growing and getting better and really using their gifts for other people.
I often think about the idea of mindset in this, right? And the attitude that we have in creating the life that we want to have, and fear often being this precursor for why we don't create the life that we want. Talk to, like, what do you think is the correlation between the attitude you have and then how much of this is like really having to face your fear?
Yeah, I think for a lot of guys, it's facing your fear and also getting to that point of realizing that there are things you're good at and there may be things you're not good at, and that's okay. And a lot of guys don't like that. They want to feel like they're good at everything. But that's, you know, Olympic athletes don't try to do all the sports. They focus on the one sport and they become great at it. And that's what takes them to the Olympics. And I think a lot of men today are scared of admitting, I'm not good at this or I'm not good at that. And I think that's something they have to realize that you need to do, because then you can start prioritizing what's more important. What's the most important thing in my life? And also for some guys, it's just getting to that realization of, gosh, I need help. You know, for me, it was that. When my son was born, I realized my life was out of control. I was doing all these things I didn't want to do, and I just needed help. And that was scary because I had to admit I needed help. It was expensive because I had to pay for that help. So you have to invest in that. Even though you've been investing and wasting your life, now I had to invest in getting help. But those are the things that I think for a lot of guys, they think that admits defeat. When it doesn't, it gives them actually more tools to win the war in their life. And that's where a lot of guys, they don't see it that way. They see it as, well, I'm a failure. No, you may have lost a battle, but the war is long. The war is your life. And if you start fighting the right way with the right tools, then you're going to start winning that war instead of having it beat you. Well, some guys, they've just gotten so beat up. Maybe they've been hurt. Maybe they don't know how to do that inward journey and they don't know how to get help. So they ask a friend and the friend doesn't really help them because they don't know any better. What I tell men is they need to find a good coach. And when I say coach, a lot of times I'm talking an emotional and mental coach. And that can be someone who coaches, like what you do with Think Unbroken or what I do, coaching men, or it could be a professional counselor. Some guys need to go to deep counseling and deal with stuff. And what I tell them is, think of a counselor as someone who's a mental and emotional coach. All they're doing is helping you figure out why you are the way you are. It's not to blame. It's not to not take responsibility. Men should take responsibility for themselves. But they should also recognize, hey, I need some help. You know, every professional athlete has a coach and they're the best of the best. You know, you watch the series on Jordan. I was just reading something about it today and he had Phil Jackson. You know, he had coaches, he had people, he had trainers, he had all these people helping him so he could be his best. And I think as men, sometimes we think I have to do it all on my own. I have to be the lone wolf. And that's just not the case. When a man surrounds himself with other people, when he surrounds himself with those situations and starts to better himself, that's when he'll make more of a difference because he can actually grow stronger from it.
I think there's healing in facing your fear. And I think coaching is a big part of that. That's obviously why I do it and why I have coaches myself. But what are your thoughts? How can coaching help you heal in this journey?
Wow. Yes, yes, yes. And I definitely faced my fear, which was, you know, I was always overcompensating or undercompensating in my relationships. And so I had to do the one thing that I was terrified to do, was just be like, hey, I don't feel good enough. Like, be vulnerable, right? Be vulnerable and show myself in a way I never have before. And so I think the way that coaching can help others heal is, like, some of the elements that I already talked about is really being able to process through what's going on behind the scenes, what's going on behind the patterns and the behaviors. Because I was operating from, you know, the place of little Ashley, right? I always talk about my inner child and how, you know, little Ashley did everything that she could do to keep herself safe and protected. And staying in those patterns and those jobs that we don't like and those relationships that are hard, you know, they're keeping us safe to some degree. There is a secondary gain. So the power of coaching is to have a coach help mirror back to you what you are gaining, helping you understand a deeper level of what you're gaining by staying in these patterns and these relationships that are ultimately keeping you small. And what I mean by helping you gain something, like, I think initially a coach could ask you, you know, how is it serving you to stay in this job that you hate? Or how is it serving you to believe these beliefs that you keep believing? And when we say, oh, how is that serving me? We might initially think, that's not serving me, right? It's not serving me to stay in a job I hate or stay in this uncomfortable situation. And coaching can help you dig deeper to see, really, there is something powerful for you here. There's something here that's protecting you. And what is it? And if you can understand through the power of coaching what that is, and so much, so many other things, but this is what's coming through right now, you can really help your clients reprogram that protection in a completely new way. Because the way that you're protecting yourself by staying in those scenarios that aren't actually serving you, but are giving you something, you can change that energy. It's just energy. It's just energy. Our beliefs are energy. Our thoughts are energy. But if you can give that energy a brand new job, that's the power of coaching. Coaches can help you do that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. I've seen that happen not only in my own life, but in the people that I've worked with. And, you know, I think what's really interesting about this idea is, like, the more that you hold on to this narrative that you've already created the life that you're capable of having and that you're effectively, for lack of a better term, because I think what happens is, like, keeping yourself small and is a feeling of safety. It's really at the crux of it, when you break it down, is an autonomic response built within a defensive mechanism, right? Mm-hmm. We learn to keep ourselves small. It's safety when you're in a traumatic household, when you're in school, when you're a community. And eventually what you come to find out, like your question, which I think is really brilliant, is how does that serve you? And I think finding your voice is part of the thing I've identified of what happens in coaching. And I know that, like, even in this experience of yourself going through yoga, being in this position, facing your fear on the backside of it, like, is that not finding your voice? Is a part of it, like, learning how to speak up for yourself, to stand up for yourself, to be who it is that you are?
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. Finding your authentic voice, your authentic expression, ultimately for me has been the gateway to freedom, to living this life that I literally couldn't have imagined, just like you said. I love that you said that because it's so true. Never saw this coming. And yet, yeah, it's a perfect fit, right? It's like my freedom, my expression, my gift to the world, right? And finding your voice is so powerful.
Thank you so much for listening to Think Unbroken. Please share this episode with someone who could use it and help us move forward in our mission of ending generational trauma in our lifetime. And if you would, please take 5 seconds to pop on iTunes or Spotify, hit that 5-star, leave a review, and you can also reach out to us on social at Michael Unbroken or at Think Unbroken. And of course, you can check out our YouTube channel at Think Unbroken. Thank you for being a part of Unbroken Nation, my friends, and until next time, be unbroken.